This is Dave, and I'm here with Ethan, and together we are Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al Podcast, episode 229 inch.
On this episode, we celebrate 5 years of Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al Podcast and discuss our bodacious trip to Columbus, Ohio for a Weird the Al Yankovic story screening with Eric Appel and Nina West.
It's Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al
It's a podcast about Weird Al.
Steve and Ethan's 2000 inch Weird Al podcast.
Seriously, the whole podcast is about Weird Al.
Steve and Ethan's 2000 inch Weird Al podcast.
You don't have to listen, but we're glad you are.
Steve and Ethan's 2000 inch Weird Al podcast.
Happy anniversary, Ethan.
Thank you, Dave, and happy anniversary to you and to all of our listeners, too.
Today, May 8th. Marks the five-year anniversary of the launch of our very own Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast.
That's right. Exactly 5 years ago today, in 2019, two young, strapping, handsome men launched this very podcast that you're listening to right now, starting, appropriately enough, with episode 1 inch.
And our very first guest was none other than the then, not yet, Grammy Award-winning Jim Chemo West.
And now, 5 years later, and 228-inch episodes, and countless bonus centimeter episodes later, we are still handsome, but somehow 5 years older? What?
You know what, Ethan? You and I also shared another anniversary recently.
Ah, yes. The day we snorted pixie sticks together behind an abandoned 7-Eleven and got our Ruben Valtierra tattoos in the location Bermuda suggested to us off the air.
No, not quite, but that is coming up soon. It was also the 17th anniversary of the day that you and I met for the first time ever.
Oh, that's right! We met at the Weird Al concert on May 3rd, 2007 at the Turning Stone Casino in Verona, New York.
What a fun day that was. It was the second U.S. show on the 2000 leg of the Straight Outta Linwood tour overall, and I was excited because all the new tour merchandise that I got to pick up, and that I was also able to procure the Smells Like Nirvana water cup. And of course, seeing White and Nerdy perform live, as well as seeing Albuquerque perform as the encore, complete with tons and tons of confetti, and meeting Weird Al after the show.
Yes, I remember it like it was only 17 years ago, Dave. I was at the show with my mom. She took me because I think I was only 16 at the time, if I'm doing my math correctly. And I saw you and I immediately recognized you from your website, which I checked all the time and I found through Weird Al's website. And so I'm telling my mom, that's Dave Elvis Rossi. He's got this crazy Weird Al collection and he's got tattoos of Weird Al and Bermuda and Jim and Steve. And I eventually worked up the courage. I went over and I said hi and I asked to see your tattoos and it was just so majestic, I had to pop myself a beer as I was viewing your tattoos for the first time. And I remember on my very dated, it might have been like I don't even know if it was a flip phone or if it was just like one of those like a brick track phones at that point. But I remember taking pictures, which now would be like 5 pixels total of your tattoos. And I was very excited. You're very nice, and obviously we took a picture with each other, because if you head over to our group, you can see that we posed for a picture on that very fateful day. And I remember, so I met you before the show, I think it was around the merch stand, and then after the show, met up with you again, and I think a few of us were waiting, and then someone brought us back to meet Al.
Yeah, that's right. The crowd was thinning out just a little bit, and we were just about ready to call it a night when Jay Levy, Weird Al's manager, came out, and he asked if we were waiting to see Weird Al, and we said we were, and he told us to come on backstage.
I kind of remember him, like, counting how many people there were, like, counting, then going back, then coming and inviting us. I don't know if you remember that, but maybe that happened another time at Verona, but I can picture when you go backstage at Verona, there's just like a hallway of signed posters leading back to the green room and stuff. And I'd been backstage a few times since that day for other acts and maybe even Weird Al a couple times. But a very memorable show. I was very glad that you were nice and you welcomed me into the Weird Al fan community. And I've been here ever since.
Well, next time you're backstage at Verona, make sure you look for the Weird Al concert posters, as well as the real star of the White and Nerdy video, Donny Osmond. I think there's one back there for Victoria Jackson, and definitely one for Carrot Top, unless they've changed them in the last 17 years.
Oh, it probably have. All right, Dave. Well, anniversaries aside, I think it's time for What's Happening in Weird Al-related News.
Weird Al is tangentially closer to an EGOT, as Gutenberg the Musical has been nominated for the Tony Award for Best Revival of a Musical.
And as we all know, Weird Al made his Broadway debut on November 25th, 2023, as the guest producer in Gutenberg the Musical. So if they do end up winning the Tony, we will know it was, of course, because of his involvement.
What is additionally exciting is that our friend and friend of the podcast, Jeremy Wee, is an actual producer of the musical, making him officially henceforth known as the Tony Award nominated Jeremy Wee, and hopefully soon, the Tony Award winning Jeremy Wee.
From all of us here at Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast, congratulations on the big Tony nomination to Gutenberg the Musical, their whole team, and especially to the Tony-nominated friend of the podcast, Jeremy Ween.
And speaking of Tony nominations, Daniel Radcliffe, best known for his performance as Al Yankovic in the Emmy Award-winning Weird the Al Yankovic Story, has been nominated for the Tony Award for Best Featured Actor in a Musical for his performance in Merrily We Roll Along.
From all of us here at Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast, congratulations to our co-star, Daniel Radcliffe, on the Tony nomination.
Gus's Pub in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, has decided to make their monthly trivia night all about Weird Al.
Presented by Wednesday Whiz Quiz, Weird Al Trivia will be held on May 29th.
They have obviously decided to make it a Weird Al Trivia Night in honor of our very own Ethan Ullman's birthday.
Well, obviously. So, Dave, do you know what time the event is?
The Weird Al Trivia is from 8 to 10 p.m. Atlantic time, which is 1 hour ahead of burrito time.
Atlantic time? No, Dave, none of our listeners will understand what that means. That's why we have tirelessly created better and less confusing names for all the time zones, like burrito time and Hollywood star time.
Well, Atlantic time gets kind of confusing because from the first Sunday in November to the second Sunday in March, they are in the burrito time zone. But from the second Sunday in March to the first Sunday in November, they are an hour ahead of burrito time.
Okay, well, let's see. The last time Weird Al performed in Halifax was in 2015 in the Schooner Showroom. So I recommend henceforth the Halifax time zone shall be known as Stop! Schooner time. It's the only way our listeners will know what we're talking about, Dave.
You know what? I'll just call it Atlantic time.
And I'll call it Atlantic time.
Well, if anyone manages to go to this event, please do us proud and let us know what some of the questions are.
This episode is brought to you in part by Vegan Burrito Restaurant, Burrito, home of the 2-pound double wrapped in a quesadilla Burrito, and Wizard Burger in Albany, New York. Come on down to Burrito and Burrito, your Burrito, and Wizard Burger for mouthwatering, loaded, dare I say beefy, vegan burgers. From Albany to your anus, Burrito and Wizard Burger feed the hungry with out-of-this-world, plant-based, real food, always vegan style. Visit burritosquare.com and wizardburger.com to order ahead.
Now it's time to check out what's happening in Grammy Award-winning Jim Kimo West-related news. Kimo's new album with Josh Jaffe, Santhi, will be dropping on July 14th in conjunction with an epic CD release party in Los Angeles.
According to Kimo's newsletter, it's a Balinese-inspired connection of 10 songs that has a spacious, compelling, and spiritual atmosphere.
Kimo is also collaborating with David Vito Gregoli, Michael Whalen, Muriel Anderson, and Malcolm Orrell for additional projects.
And attention, Florida friends! Kimo will be performing in St. Petersburg on Saturday, May 18th, so if you'll be in the area, you gotta be sure to check it out.
And Arizona friends, look for shows in late June. And speaking of June, Kimo announced that he will be debuting his all-new website in June as well.
There's more details to follow, and I'm sure Chemo will let everyone know when it's available, but just to be safe, we've asked intern Frank to commence constant refreshing of JimChemoWest.com at the stroke of midnight, June 1st, to report back to us as soon as something changes or is updated.
Now it's time for What's Happening in Dave and Ethan's 2008 Weird Al podcast-related news.
To celebrate the 35th anniversary of the release of UHF, we are hosting a live reading of the UHF script on July 27th over Zoom.
Friend of the podcast, William King, is organizing the event with us and is accepting requests for specific roles or general involvement over at our Facebook group at group.2000inch.com.
Bigger parts like George Newman and Stanley Spadowski will be split up into smaller parts to give more people the opportunity to read.
And our very own Ethan Allman appeared on another podcast episode posted last week, although it was recorded 12 years ago.
That's right! My first ever appearance on the storytelling podcast, Risk! True Tales Boldly Told, hosted by the great Kevin Allison of MTV's The State, has been republished for the whole world to hear.
Please note, there is some spicy language in the episode and on the podcast in general, but you can still check out Ethan's story about Hambu-related hijinks by heading on over to risk-show.com or selecting the May 1st, 2024 episode, Live from Albany, from your favorite podcast app.
All right, Dave, I think we should talk about this pretty stinking majestic event, spoiler alert, that we went to last Friday.
We went to a screening of Weird the Al Yankovic Story, which included a reception and meet and greet with Nina West, who portrayed Divine in the pool party scene, and was followed by a live Q&A with director Eric Appel, as well as Nina West.
As soon as we saw that there was going to be a screening of Weird the Al Yankovic Story, it already piqued our interest. But the fact that Nina West and Eric Appel were going to be there, it sealed the deal, and we knew we had to go. They also said there was going to be a costume contest and prizes, so I was like, okay, I got to figure out a costume.
Well, I think before we talk about the actual event, we should cover all the Weird Al-related fun we had together leading up to the event.
So the event was on Friday, May 3rd, and Dave, we both live about 8.5 to 9 hours away from Columbus.
Right, so the original plan was we were going to leave very, very early Friday morning, drive all day, show up at the event, party like we never partied before, watch the movie, and then maybe get an hour or two of sleep, and then turn around and drive all the way back home the next day on Saturday.
Luckily, we didn't end up doing that. What we did instead was we both took Thursday off as well, and instead of us each driving the 9 hours separately, we thought it would be more fun to drive together. And so that meant I had to drive 2.5 hours down to Dave's house. So I left at like 7 a.m. on Thursday, and then I got to your house around 9:30, and we pretty much immediately hit the road.
Yeah, packed up my car, hit the road, and luckily we had a pretty uneventful drive. We stopped a few times for, you know, pickled wieners and Spider-Man comics. But other than that, it was a pretty smooth drive, and I guess we got there maybe around 7 o'clock?
Yeah, it was really, we didn't make bad time at all. I mean, all things considered, we didn't really hit any bad traffic. We just had fun. We listened to, you know, our most recent episode of the podcast. We re-listened to that awesome crossover episode of Weird Pals that we were on, because we hadn't gotten to listen to that yet. So it was fun. We did that. We listened to some Weird Al tunes, of course, and we just had fun just chatting Weird Al-related things.
So we weren't actually staying in Columbus proper. We were staying in a city very close by called Grove City. But once we actually got to our hotel in Grove City, we had a few missions we needed to go on.
So actually, on our way to Columbus, we did, after getting gas, stop at a Dollar General because I really wanted to get some pink whoopee cushions like the one Nina West, as Divine, uses in Weird the Al Yankovic Story. Because, Dave, if you remember, I went on Amazon and I ordered a couple 2-packs of the pink whoopee cushions, but they showed up and they were orange and green.
I had no idea up until that moment that they made whoopee cushions in any other color than pink.
My whole plan was we could get Nina West to sign whoopee cushions. How cool would that be? But then when they showed up green and orange, I was like, that sucks. That's not going to be as cool. So our missions were find some pink whoopee cushions. And we also both realized that we had meant to bring a Blu-ray or some copy of Weird the Al Yankovic Story for Eric to sign.
Yes, but in our haste, I think intern Frank forgot to pack those steel books and Blu-rays and whoopee cushions because we didn't have them when we got there. So our first mission was to get food, but after that, we headed over to a Walmart, which was conveniently located very close to our hotel, looking for the whoopee cushions and the steel books.
And Dave, you insisted. You're like, there is no way that Walmart is going to have whoopee cushions. And I'm like, Dave, I guarantee that either they have a cheap toys area in the toy section or at least the party favors. There's got to be at least one whoopee cushion. And Dave, you were proven wrong. There was a whoopee cushion, but it was a self-inflating one, which is like a whoopee cushion, but there's like a sponge inside of it. It's so weird. I mean, it's a great idea, but that's not what Nina West used in the movie. So
no, not at all.
Not acceptable.
However, Walmart did have those exclusive steel books, and as we were looking for them, we noticed there were two of them on the shelf, which was perfect for what we needed.
Yeah, so we would each get one. We were so excited. We each pick one up, and I'm looking at the one I picked up, and it looked like someone stepped on it. Like, the cover was all dented in, and there was just, like, this crease. Like, and it was sealed in, like, a plastic case, so someone, I don't know if it didn't fit in the case, so they like squished it down. Or it was very sad. It was very sad to see a piece of Weird Al memorabilia like that completely destroyed. So I had to pass on that one. Got to pass.
Yeah, it broke my heart to see that. Ultimately, what we ended up doing is we just ended up getting the one other steel book that looked like it was in decent condition. It was hard to tell because, you know, it was in the plastic, but it didn't look like it had been sat on or anything. Like
right. It looked perfectly fine. So we did get that, and it was a success. And, you know, we got to go to bed a little bit early and had plans for a full day of fun on Friday.
Yeah, so Friday we slept in a little bit, recovered from our drive, and I think we headed out around noon with the goal to hit a few music stores and then see where the rest of the day took us.
So I think I just Googled like record stores in Columbus, Ohio, and I found a website that listed like the top five record stores, and there was one with like a really weird name, but the closest one to our hotel was called Spoonful Records, so we're like, all right, let's go to that one.
So on our way over to Spoonful Records, though, we did have a little concerning moment when we did pass a street called Frank Road, and we were a little worried we were going to have to turn onto it, but fortunately we didn't.
We did shake our fists at the sign, though, to show our disdain for intern Frank.
That's
so
right.
We finally get to Spoonful Records, and it wasn't that far from the hotel, maybe 5-10 minutes. And we walk in, and when you walk into a record store, if you're used to going vinyl hunting or whatever, you know that there's either a really nice record store or it's going to be a really like ratty, disheveled, unorganized kind of place. And luckily, yep, this was the former. It was beautiful and very well organized.
Oh, absolutely. It was so nice in that store. And the moment we walked in, the woman standing behind the counter asked us, "Hey, do you need help with anything?"
And I said, "We only care about one artist, and that is Weird Al Yankovic."
And surprisingly, she knew exactly what they had. She said, "Oh, I have the soundtrack to Weird the Al Yankovic Story and probably an Eat It 45.
Which is incredible because most of the time, if I ask someone in a record store if they have Weird Al, they don't even know that he has music. Like, Weird Al, he has 45s, he has vinyl, what are you talking about? So it was really nice. The woman's name was Amy, and it was so cool. So as soon as we mentioned Weird Al, she's like, "Hey, there's a screening tonight of Weird the Al Yankovic Story."
And we're like, "Yeah, that's why we're in town."
What are the odds? You know, and we told her that we came out from New York and New Jersey, and we're really excited about the screening, and she said that she herself is going to the screening, and she's even going to dress up as someone from the film for the costume contest. So how cool.
That was very neat.
So We continue chatting with her about Weird Al for a little bit, and then I decide to start digging through the Y45s to see if I can find the Eat It single. And then, Dave, she showed you where the soundtrack was, because you were considering getting one to have signed by Eric.
Yeah, she took me over to show me where the soundtrack was, and it was right on one of the shelves, right next to the music of Harry Potter. So how appropriate.
Amazing. And so I ended up finding two Eat It 45s, no picture sleeve, just the, you know, generic covers. And so they were only $2 each. So Dave and I were like, oh, we should probably get these as a memento.
I know it's rare enough to find any Weird Al in a music store, let alone for $2, you have to snap it up.
Oh, of course.
It's always good to have a few extra Eat Its around. Anyway, as she was showing me this, where the soundtrack was, Amy kept mentioning someone named Andrew. And after she said Andrew's name a few times, I had to stop her and ask her who Andrew was. And she said, oh, Andrew is Nina West.
Yes, because obviously Nina West is a drag persona. And Dave and I, we're huge Weird Al fans. We're huge Weird Al Yankovic Story fans. But we don't follow RuPaul's Drag Race or drag queens too closely, so we had no idea. But once she said it, it made perfect sense.
So, and Nina West is an icon in Columbus, so everybody there knows who she is, and they probably know her real name is Andrew.
Right.
But we being out-of-towners had no idea.
So she was saying all this stuff, you know, that Andrew loves shopping at her store and has gotten his record player from her and comes in all the time. And it was really cool that we just happened to go to the record store that Nina West shops at. And of course, Dave and I can't go anywhere and meet a Weird Al fan without mentioning that we do have cameos in Weird the Al Yankovic Story.
That's right.
And so she asked us for a picture, and we're like, oh, that's cool. And so she took the picture, and then I was like, oh, maybe we should get a picture like holding up the soundtrack. And she's like, no, it's okay, I already sent it. And I was like, what? Who did you send it to?
So it turns out she texted the photo of us to Andrew, you know, Nina West, and he immediately replied back and told her to tell us about the screening later that night.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's why they're here.
So that was pretty cool that Nina West got a heads up that we were heading to the screening. She was also telling me that Andrew shopped in her store all the time, and she hadn't made the connection that he was Nina West. And someone came in with Andrew and was checking out, and they were talking about Weird the Al Yankovic Story. And Amy, the owner, she was gushing about the pool scene and how much she loved it and how great Nina West was in it. But meanwhile, the whole time, had no idea that Nina West was standing right in front of her.
Yeah, that was a great story. I'm so glad that she shared that with us. And I'm so glad we got to meet Amy. She was a wonderful person.
Yeah, and she was like, you got to go to this store, Big Fun. It's not too far from here. They've got a lot of old antique toys and fun stuff from the 80s and 90s. So we loved that idea. And we saw a little coupon on the counter that mentioned House Taco being close by. So we're like, oh, well, it's kind of lunchtime. Why don't we go to House Taco?
And House Taco really was close by. It was just around the corner. And
I was a little obsessed with going to a Mexican restaurant while we were in Columbus.
A lot of our conversation on the ride up was Ethan trying to figure out how he can get me into a Mexican restaurant while we're in Ohio.
Because I always heard that the pico de gallo isn't made like that in Ohio. So we went there and we ordered our stuff, but none of my tacos came with pico de gallo. So I had to order a side of pico de gallo, and we did take a picture with it and post it on Instagram if you want to see it. If you want to see what authentic Ohio pico de gallo looks like. And actually, Dave, I don't think I ever tried it.
Well, I definitely didn't try it because I don't like tomatoes. And of course, pico de gallo, they sure don't make it like this in Ohio. Lyrics from the incredible Weird Al parody, Taco Grande.
And they also, in Taco Grande, mention a picha or a pinch of or a peach margarita. And so I did get Not because of the song, but because I like margaritas. I did get a really tasty margarita, and they had house-made limoncello. And I think I ordered it as limoncello. And she's like, no, limoncello. It was not limoncello. Not even sounds like limoncello.
But we were about to head over to Big Fun when all of a sudden we got a message from Eric Appel, who said he was headed to a place called Cap City Diner and invited us to come along.
Now, if you don't know who Eric Appel is, we're not sure why you're listening to our podcast right now. But Eric Appel is, of course, the co-writer and the director of the Emmy Award-winning Weird the Al Yankovic Story. So, of course we went there. And it turns out he used to work at a Cap City Diner when he went to college in Pittsburgh. So he really wanted to go back and he really wanted to try their meatloaf again.
Yeah, it was so nice to see Eric. We hadn't seen him in quite a while, and we had a great conversation with him over lunch. Now, we just came from lunch, remember? So I think maybe, Ethan, you ordered yourself a soda, and I ordered myself a root beer float.
Yes. When in the proximity of royalty, like Eric Appel, you have to drink sodas. So we we indulged. And Dave, honestly, I don't want to tease our audience, but there's a lot of stuff we can't talk about that we discussed with Eric. But what we can say is, first off, he's working on a super cool project planning to be filmed this year with Jack Black, which is so freaking cool. I'm such a big fan of Jack Black.
Absolutely. Sounds like it's going to be absolutely amazing. So keep your eye out for that when it does eventually get announced and come out. And of course, you know, we did edge him on about if there would possibly be a Weird the Al Yankovic Story sequel. And if there was, we really, really pitched hard for speaking roles for Tough Biker number 7 and Tough Biker number 8.
Well, hopefully Weird 2 happens, and hopefully Eric takes everything we said to heart. We had a lot of fun talking about a lot of stuff. Eric and I even traded kidney stone horror stories, which I'm sure freaked you out a bit, Dave, because you've never had a kidney stone. Hopefully you never do.
Yeah, with the way that you two were talking and trading horror stories and war stories about that, I am so glad I've never had to deal with kidney stones.
So it was finally time for Eric to sign the steelbook that I got the night before at Walmart, and we came up with this great idea. I would get the cover signed, and then Dave would get one of the discs signed. And then when we got back to Dave's house the next day, we could just swap the disc, and then he would have something signed by Eric, and I would too. So I open up the plastic, I rip it off, and I go to open up the cover, and the cover comes right off. Like, the plastic on the seam of the, what would you say, the binding? I guess just...
The binding, yeah.
It was just... I don't know what happened, but it wasn't attached. So Eric signed it. But I mean, luckily it's not going to get a whole lot of like wear and tear because I'm never going to really use that one. It's just more of a display right. piece. But I was so freaked out when it came off.
Yes. And then Eric was kind and he did sign both the cover and the discs. So we both have authentic Eric Appel signatures for our collection.
And so he signed the cover and then he put arrows to two random people like in silhouette on the cover and wrote Dave, Ethan, as if Dave and I are on the cover. And because he wrote that, it is authentic Dave. We can start telling people that we are on the cover of the steelbook and the poster.
Yeah, well, we had a great time talking with Eric. And, you know, he had flown in that morning, so he was a little bit tired. So he wanted to head back and take a nap. And we still had to check out Big Fun.
Yes.
So we parted ways and headed on over to Big Fun. And, oh, my gosh, what an awesome store that was.
You know, and I hadn't even considered that we were heading to a toy store. And so the first thing we do when we walk in, I remembered that I really wanted a pink whoopee cushion. And sure enough, they had pink whoopee cushions, Dave.
Yeah, not just like one option. They had multiple options of pink whoopee cushions.
They had like a regular size, a medium size, and a teeny tiny size. And they even had the self-inflating sponge ones too. So many options. I was so excited. I was like, finally, I don't have to get an orange or green one signed.
Yeah, so obviously we picked up the whoopee cushions, but this store was so awesome. It's like any sort of toy collectible you want, any sort of action figure from Star Wars to Transformers to...
To Lego.
Funko Pops. Funko Pops. Everything you can think of is in there. And it's very, very well organized. Like all the figures are on display standing up and they're all organized together and with all of them have prices on them. And oh, it's such a cool, cool store to check out for anybody who's into sort of collecting toys and that sort of thing.
Or even just the nostalgia. Like when I was a kid, my all-time favorite toys were the Batman the Animated Series action figures. So it was really cool because they actually had a couple of those still sealed. And they also had, my favorite figure as a kid was the, what I called Gray Batman, which was just the regular Batman without any like fancy other colors or whatever. And they had a loose, kind of rough up one for like $100. So I'm really hoping I still have that somewhere because that really gave me a lot of hope when I saw that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun going down the nostalgia of checking out all the things. I definitely remember spending a lot of time with their WWE figures, looking at all the different ones and remembering the ones that I had when I was a kid growing up.
Oh, awesome.
As well as the Star Wars as well. I had a lot of those figures too.
So as I'm checking out at the register, there's these Star Trek cards, and they were only like $2 or $3. And so I was like, oh, I wonder if, you know, there's going to be a card with my buddy Captain Kirk, a.k.a. William Shatner. So I picked up a pack of cards, and as soon as we got outside, we opened it. And what was it? The first card was a picture.
Right on the top, yep.
It was a picture of William Shatner. And then behind him was like the name on his dressing room that said William Shatner. I was like, what are the odds that, I mean, I think the odds of getting like Captain Kirk were pretty high, but the odds of getting William Shatner with a thing that says William Shatner was pretty low. So that was pretty cool.
Well, we probably could have spent hours at Big Fun. It was so cool. It was such an awesome place. But we did have dinner plans with some of our friends over at Dirty Frank's Hot Dog Palace.
So our friend Allison Parsons lives in Columbus, and she said, hey, there's this really great place called Dirty Frank's Hot Dog Palace. And we're like, oh, that reminds us of intern Frank. We have to go because they hate him too. They call them dirty. So it was really cool. They had a bunch of vegetarian options, vegan options, and of course, very meat-filled options.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of different options for hot dogs and a lot of really interesting combinations. So if you could not find something on that menu that you thought would be interesting, you weren't looking hard enough.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there were probably, what, 30 or 40 different styles of hot dogs?
Easily.
So it was so cool. And the first thing that I see when I'm looking at the drinks is that for an extra $3, you can add on a souvenir cup. And it's got their logo, which is this guy named Dirty Frank as a hot dog. And I was like, I have to get that. And then everyone else had to get one too.
Yeah, so our friends who joined us at Dirty Frank's Hot Dog Palace was our good friend Jeremy Samples, our good friend Dustin Jablonski and his friend Mindy, Samantha Evans, and of course, Allison Parsons.
And the food was great. The staff was great. Like our server said that they were also a fan of Weird Al and had no idea that the screening was happening, but they had to work, so they couldn't go. And, you know, we were pretty excited, and the server definitely put up with our shenanigans, which was very kind.
You know, for a bunch of Weird Al fans, we were a very rowdy group, and we were having a lot of fun, but they were very good sports about us being there. And let me tell you about this place. It's really cool looking once you get inside. There's, like, all this, like, pop art of musicians, you know, like Michael Jackson, and skateboards with like wrestling legends on it, and all these other like musicians and things all over the place. It's really, really cool inside. They're all like hand painted portraits of all these different things.
And the absolute best thing is near the exit, they have a big sign hanging down that says, eat it and beat it. Which I have been to. If you've listened to the bonus episodes, you know I went to a diner that had that somewhere. I think Indiana. But Dave, I don't know if you've been to a place that said Eat It and Beat It, which of course is exciting because Weird Al's original is called Eat It, and then Michael Jackson's parody is called Beat It. So it was very exciting to see that on a sign.
And not only did they have it on a sign, they also had it on a t-shirt, which of course was pretty cool. And of course we had to get a t-shirt as well.
Absolutely.
Eat It and Beat It.
We couldn't get away with not getting one of those shirts that said Dirty Frank, let alone the one that said Eat It and Beat It on it. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. There was sauerkraut on the menu. There were tater tots. So, you know, we hated sauerkraut and we were addicted to spuds. And just had a really great time. I would definitely go back to Dirty Frank's Hot Dog Palace if I'm back in Columbus.
Oh, yeah. The staff was wonderful there. It was a lot of fun. Like I said, the decor was great. And the food was really good, too. The hot dogs were really good. I enjoyed them very much. So after dinner, we were just about to head over to the theater to see the screening when Samantha had something special she wanted to show us first.
Yes. So she goes to her car. She pulls out a shirt that was screen worn in Weird the Al Yankovic Story. And we know that it was the exact shirt because she won it from Roku and Mad Libs in this contest. And it is the exact shirt that Daniel Radcliffe wears the first time he visits the Scotty brothers in the film. It's green and it's blue and it's instantly recognizable.
Yeah, it was so cool to see that shirt. It was absolutely amazing. And to get to hold it and to touch it. And we even got pictures with it. Oh, it was so awesome. So thank you so much, Samantha, for letting us see and touch that shirt. Oh, it was so cool.
It's pretty stinking majestic, Dave. I think that's the only word for it.
Absolutely.
So we get to the Gateway Theater and there's a parking garage attached. And I had my costume to change into, and so I'll talk about mine. Dave, you can talk about what you changed into, but I had my red Weird jacket. It is the leather jacket like Daniel Radcliffe has on the official movie poster, and so I wore that. I wore the wig I got at the New York premiere of Weird the Al Yankovic Story, and my prescription Weird Al style glasses, and Dave, I don't know if you knew this, I was wearing the exact black pants that I wore as a background actor in Weird the Al Yankovic Story. So from head to toe, I was wearing nothing but Weird Al and weird related stuff.
So very cool. And I just put on a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, but it was still cool.
Yep, it's actually the one I wore in the picture that I took with Weird Al in Hawaii.
So we get into the theater and we're not really sure where to go. All we know is that there's a reception that starts at 7:30. We don't know what that actually means. And then we know that the screening's at 9. So we get there a little before 7:30 and we notice some people with Hawaiian shirts upstairs.
We know how to get upstairs, so we're waiting in line with everybody else. And eventually we get up to the ticket counter and the gentleman at the counter tells us, oh, the movie's all the way over there and the reception's upstairs. And we're still not sure how to get upstairs, but we eventually figured it out.
But luckily, Dave, you asked the guy before we went up because we bought our tickets online. You asked him if he would print out physical tickets for us and he obliged. And I'm very happy because now we each have an official Weird the Al Yankovic Story with Q&A featuring Eric Appel and Nina West in Columbus ticket.
So it turns out there was actually a flight of stairs right near where the ticket counter was to go upstairs. We headed up and there's like a little bar area, seating area up there where the reception was going to take place.
And so in no particular order, let's talk about some of the people we met and people we knew. I mean, obviously our friends from Dirty Franks were there. But very quickly, I recognized a friend and listener of ours who I had met previously, but Dave, you had not met, Ajax, and Ajax's brother, whose name we didn't get, and we just called him Ajax's brother. Sorry, Ajax's brother.
To be fair, Ajax's brother never shared his name with us. He just continued to be wanted to be called Ajax's brother.
Okay, good.
Anyway.
It was really cool to see Ajax again. And Dave, your first time ever seeing him.
Yeah, my first time ever meeting Ajax. It was really cool. And Ajax even brought us a really cool gift.
And he said, you guys just have to figure out who gets it. But luckily, this is something that I already have, but incredibly, it is something that I have never seen another one. I've never heard anyone talk about another one. I didn't know if there was more than one of these in the world. So the fact that Ajax found it and gifted it to us, which then I graciously allowed you to take full ownership of, Dave, so I deserve some credit here, it was pretty stinking majestic.
What this is a tabletop stand with the artwork for Weird the Al Yankovic Story on it, and it says streaming free on the Roku channel. And it's one of those cardboard standees that usually sit on top of a counter, like at a music store or someplace that, you know, might sell the actual movie. And it's about, like, once it's folded and standing, it's probably about like 11 inches by 9 inches tall.
Yes. And as far as I know, these were in at least two Walmart stores. And I religiously look for them anytime I go to a Walmart store. In fact, when we were looking for the Steelbook, I went to the Roku section just in case, and I didn't see one there. So very cool that Ajax had that, and I'm very glad that you have that in your collection, Dave.
Yeah, Ajax said he was scoping it out for about a year before he finally asked somebody if he could take it.
That's so awesome. So we're there, and this guy comes up, and he's like, hey, are you Dave and Ethan from Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast? And we were.
Yes, this is really cool. This is one of our listeners, Kyle, and he recognized us from the podcast. So it was very cool to get to meet him. And as we're talking to him, it turns out that he's an actual real-life dental hygienist somewhere there in Columbus, which was really cool. And he had come out for the screening, obviously, and a huge Weird Al fan as well.
And the best part, not only is he a dental hygienist, he's a dental hygienist with a spatula tattooed on his arm.
That's right. He actually has a spatula tattooed on his arm. He told us this great story about his favorite artist designed it for him, and he went out and got it, and oh, it was really cool. And then we were sharing stories with him, and he was there with one of his bandmates, and they had actually done a few shows in Tulsa. So he was saying how he had visited a lot of the UHF sites while he was there in Tulsa as well. Very cool to get to talk to Kyle.
It was so cool. And I do want to point out, that was his one and only tattoo. He was not like a guy with sleeves of tattoos. He literally just has a spatula tattooed on his arm. So cool. So there weren't many people dressed up. I was dressed up as Weird Al. And immediately I see someone else dressed as Weird Al. And I went over to her because it was such a good costume, and I had to meet this person. And she was dressed exactly like George Newman from the beginning of UHF, dressed as Indiana Jones. She had a mustache, she had the hat, she had the outfit, and she even had a little Oscar with her. So I went over to her, and I got like a candle or something, and I pretended like I was sprinkling out the sand about to like grab her Oscar. And she was so fun. She's a huge Weird Al fan, and she brought her friend Christy, who is not a huge Weird Al fan but is a supportive friend, and neither of them had seen the film. And incredibly, Dana said that she wanted a spatula tattoo, and I'm like, I have someone you need to meet. And I brought her over to see Kyle. It was very cool.
Yeah, Dana's costume was absolutely incredible. It looked just like it was right out of the movie. Yeah. UHF. I mean, I don't think she missed any little detail on that outfit. She looked wonderful. Of course, she posed for pictures with us and everything, so it was really cool to get to see her outfit and meet her. And of course, this is a kind of like a smaller, intimate reception. So we're running into these people over and over again throughout the night. And it was really cool, you know, to get to have all these different interactions with them.
Oh, totally. Another person I met was someone I know from our Facebook group, Dave. His name is Eddie, and he's, of course, a listener. He lives right in Columbus. And he said he'd actually been going to this venue, the Gateway Theater, for years. And he told me about this incredible event that they do every year that he's been to twice. And it is a 24-hour marathon of the Bill Murray classic Groundhog Day.
Oh my God, I love it.
I can't imagine doing that once. I don't know how crazy that would be to do it two different times, but More power to Eddie. He said that you go and you watch it a few times, and because it's 24 hours, you end up falling asleep in your seat, and then you wake up, and you have no concept of what time it is. How much time has passed? Did you wake up 5 minutes later? Did you wake up 5 hours later? So cool.
Oh, amazing. And as we previously mentioned, our friend Amy from Spoonful Records was there, and she was dressed up as Conan O'Brien's Andy Warhol from the film Weird the Al Yankovic Story. And her costume was incredible. She had on this great wig. She was dressed all in black. And she had this really, really old, like old school camera, that something that Andy Warhol would have used.
Yes, she was there with her friend Odessa, I think the name was. And honestly, we had like talked to her earlier in the day. I didn't recognize her at first.
No, I wouldn't have recognized her had we not known who she was and knew what she was coming as.
Yeah, it was really cool. We took some fun pictures with her as well. And we also had a couple requests for autographs, Dave, because we're big celebrities here.
I was a little surprised, but I guess it shouldn't have come as a surprise. Yeah, it was such an honor. Quite a few of our friends wanted us to sign their copies of Weird the Al Yankovic Story. I know we signed a steelbook for Ajax, and we signed a Blu-ray for Dustin, and even Samantha, she wouldn't let us sign the actual shirt that was worn in the movie, but she did let us sign the shirt hanger.
I wouldn't have signed the shirt.
Yeah, I don't think I would have signed the shirt either. Let's save that for when she meets Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, the highlight of the reception, and by reception, it was just like we could go to the bar. There wasn't like drinks or snacks or anything. But what was really cool is we did line up and we got to meet Nina West. And it was so cool. We were waiting in line and I got my whoopee cushion ready. And Allison goes, "Oh my gosh, I wish I had a whoopee cushion." I was like, "Well, I have a medium-sized whoopee cushion you can have." So I gave her my medium-sized whoopee cushion, and she got it signed. And then I got to go up, and I got my regular-sized whoopee cushion signed. And Nina wrote, "Ethan, you're a gas. Fart noise. Love, Nina West."
Yeah, it was so cool to get to interact with Nina. She was incredibly nice, so cool, just having so much fun up there. I did also pick up a whoopee cushion while we were at Big Fun, and she did sign mine as well. She said, "Dave, you inspire me. Fart, love, Nina West."
It was so cool. We told her we're in the film, and it was so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Getting to meet her and grab pictures with her. And my girlfriend is a huge Drag Race fan. And Nina did not win her season. She was named Miss Congeniality, but she is going to be on the upcoming season of Drag Race All Stars, where they bring back past winners and fan favorites. So really excited to see how she does. That's starting fairly soon. So it was very cool. And I noticed that a lot of people in line actually had Nina West t-shirts on. So I think a lot of her fans came out for the screening just to see her.
Very cool. Well, they certainly weren't disappointed. Getting to meet Nina was an incredibly awesome time. Pretty stinking majestic.
Now, Dave, I mentioned what I was wearing. I had a wig on, and I also had my long biker pants on. But I also had this really heavy leather jacket. you would think it's not like a costume leather jacket. It's like an actual leather jacket that has weird sewn into the back.
Oh, no. Yeah, you let me try that on, and that thing is heavy. And I do not know how you were wearing that, because I don't think that they had the air conditioning turned on where we were having the reception, because it was hot enough, and I was just sitting there in my Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Yeah, and it was bad, but you know what? If there's a costume contest with prizes involved, I have to give it my all, Dave. And the spoiler warning is there was no costume contest.
I was going to ask, how did you do? Because I never saw a costume contest or anyone win any prizes.
I was kind of bummed about that, because they had advertised it and we mentioned it on our show and we were talking about it on the past episode. And you know, I'm glad I wore it, because, you know, I got some really cool pictures with people and a cool picture with Nina West. But I was kind of bummed there was no costume contest, because all in all, it was me. It was Dana with her George Newman Indiana Jones costume. And then it was Amy with her Andy Warhol costume. I don't think anyone else dressed up. So only three people, I totally would have at least gotten third place.
Bronze medal, it's the best you could hope for.
It's the worst I could hope for. But yeah, I was a little disappointed about that. But luckily, once we went in, it was time for the screening, and it was obvious that there was no costume contest. I took that opportunity to take off my wig and my extremely heavy leather jacket.
You know, the actual screening itself, I don't know how big this theater was. It didn't look very big. Maybe 100 and some odd amount of people could fit in the theater.
Yeah, I think the capacity was like 130, 140. But it was really nice, and it was the seats were like going up, so it wasn't like anyone was going to block your view if you sat behind them.
Yeah, and fairly comfortable seats, and maybe about 85% full. Maybe there's 100 people there or so. And I know usually when you go to the movies, you don't want to sit in the front row. But since we knew there was a Q&A going on, and also because there was, I don't know, the entire front row was available by the time we got into the theater, we did sit in the front row. And of course, we had to sit in seats number 7 and 8. Yes, I sat in seat number 7 and Ethan sat in seat number 8 after our official biker numbers.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm normally not a front row for the movie kind of guy, but we've seen the movie so many times, Dave.
Yeah.
And it was ended up being really nice to be that close to the Q&A. And
yep, absolutely.
Before the movie started, Nina came out and she talked a little bit, and she brought Eric out and he talked a little bit.
Yep.
And it was really nice. And then I think it was kind of surprising that instead of the movie playing, there was like 5 minutes of movie trailers.
Yeah. Wasn't expecting that.
No.
There was a funny moment in one of the trailers where there was this strange looking bird with this really deep voice, and after all the trailers and after the movie, jumping ahead a bit, Nina said something about that bird having the exact same deep voice that she had when she first came out and introduced. Because she came out as a joke and did this really, really deep voice.
Yeah, making fun of the guy who worked at the venue, who I think introduced her. Yeah, who's a good friend of hers.
Yeah.
So throughout the movie, it was really fun. Of course, we cheered when Sam's shirt was on the screen. Of course, anytime they showed, you know, Eric's name in the beginning, we cheered for that. And of course, we cheered when Nina was on screen. But I think the best cheers came for us, Dave, during the biker bar scene with bikers, Tough Biker number 7 and Tough Biker number 8. We got some good cheers.
Absolutely, yeah.
After the film ended, the credits started. And they did exactly what happened at one of those other screenings you went to, where they turned down the music and we didn't get to hear the credits. But it wasn't so bad, because while we weren't hearing Now You Know, we were hearing Nina West and Eric Appel, which I think is a good compromise.
Yeah, they came out and the credits were still playing in the background. So all the names are rolling by. And it was very interesting. I was looking at a lot of the names as they were rolling by, and I kept thinking to myself, wow, we've had that person on Dave and Ethan's 2008 Weird Al podcast as a guest. So it was really cool to see like all of our really cool guests and their names scroll by as Eric and Nina were chatting in the background.
Yeah, I guess, you know, obviously I know that they've been on a podcast, but I haven't sat down and really thought about how many people from the film we've had on. So that was really cool to see that. I think you and I were both experiencing that same thing.
Yeah. Right. So when the actual Q&A with Eric and Nina started, Eric had mentioned that, okay, I'm going to tell a lot of stories that I've already told on the commentary track. Who here has seen the commentary track? And there was only like a smattering of clapping.
I think it was just those of us in the front row, to be honest. That was funny. But, you know, really at the end of the day, I don't think he told that many things from the commentary. He told a lot of stuff that was new or even slightly different than what I'd heard before. So I thought that was really cool.
Absolutely. And of course, Eric, he knew this question was coming. So he did mention that him and Al have an idea for a sequel and that Dan is on board. And that's all he can say about it.
Which is incredible. I don't know that we'd heard that before publicly. So very cool.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
To have that be official. So officially at least said that they're thinking about something. So that was very cool. Nina asked Eric about her scene getting cut out of the movie, because of course you see her in the movie, but you don't hear her. And if you watch the deleted scenes, you can see her eating the piece of poop as Divine. Yeah. It was interesting. Eric, basically it boiled down to he didn't like the clouds in the background of the scene. And that's why, that's part of the reason that her scene was cut.
Yeah, it was funny. She was sort of asking the question, sort of jokingly, not expecting a real answer from Eric. And then Eric went on and on and on and just gave a really detailed answer to her question.
So a few things that Eric talked about, we had heard before, either in the commentary or one of the events we've been to or on the podcast even. You know, obviously they had a tight timeline and a very tight budget for making the film. And he shared a story about how Eric himself had to dub the Flexitone that Andy Warhol, a.k.a. Conan O'Brien, plays during Another One Rides the Bus, which was cool to hear kind of an expanded story on that.
Yeah, and when Eric was talking about the pool scene, he mentioned how Weird Al had this very detailed spreadsheet with very specific instruments for everyone, and Eric was just looking at it and could not make heads or tails, but he says, well, Al, as long as you understand it, that's good enough for me.
And I do like that there was a lot of thought put into who had which instrument, because I think Divine playing the whoopee cushion and, you know, of course, Divine, the character being known for eating poop, was very apropos.
Now, one of the more interesting questions that somebody asked was, how did this end up getting into Roku's hand? And Eric gave a really cool answer, but he kept giving a shout out to our past guest and friend, Colin Davis, who was very, very instrumental in getting this greenlit at Roku.
Yeah, this is very, very cool. Another really interesting thing that Eric talked about during the Q&A was about Aaron Paul. Now, Dave, I think you and I already knew that Aaron was supposed to be in the movie. He was supposed to be the heckler in the crowd, which eventually went to Patton Oswalt. And we also knew that Aaron tested positive for COVID and was unable to do it because of that. But what I didn't know is he told us that before they knew Aaron Paul had COVID, he had an unmasked interaction with Daniel Radcliffe. And so there was a little bit of time where they were really worried, because if Daniel had gotten COVID, this movie may not have happened with his busy schedule, or it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't be out yet, probably. So luckily, Dan did not get sick, but that was really cool to hear the story.
And very fortunate that Daniel did not catch COVID from Aaron Paul or anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one thing I noticed was how excited Nina was herself for actually being in the movie and being on the set. She was about as excited as we were being there on the set. She was so excited to finally meet Daniel Radcliffe and, of course, to meet Jack Black. And she was really excited. She told us this story about how she had no idea who was in the movie until she sat down to get her makeup and hair done the day of her shoot. And up on the wall were all the people who were in the movie, and she kept like looking and seeing all the celebrities and who they were playing. And she's getting more and more excited as each, she looked at each name and each picture.
And what was really interesting is Eric talked a little bit more about Patton Oswalt being Dr. Demento and how he ultimately ended up not being Dr. Demento. I think previously we just knew he was supposed to be it, broke his foot, so he couldn't do it anymore. But what Eric talked about was Patton was insisting that his broken foot really wasn't so bad, and it wasn't until Kat Bardot, Pat's guest of the podcast and the makeup artist for the film, went to try on Patton's beard with him that she noticed that his cast was way bigger than he said, and she mentioned that to Eric, and they figured that they couldn't afford to shoot around the big cast with their limited schedule.
Yeah, they really tried hard to get it to work, but it just wasn't going to work. As one option they had is they were going to let Dr. Demento walk with a cane, but, you know, it just didn't happen.
So I actually had an opportunity to ask a question, and I asked Eric how Nina was cast, and I asked Nina what was her reaction to getting that phone call that she had an offer to be in the film, and it was very great. You know, Eric talked about how Zach Hawley, the one of the producers of the film, actually had the idea for Nina, and Nina said that she couldn't say yes fast enough. She was so excited to be asked to be in the film because she is a huge Weird Al fan.
And at one point, Eric called both Ethan and I out from the front row and said, these two guys were in the film as tough bikers. And the audience cheered when he did that.
Another thing that he talked about was the whole peeing scene when Al gets the award at the end of the film. And it sounds like that almost got cut and they were literally seconds away from cutting it. And they just ended up filming it because Al really wanted it to be in the film. And then Eric said later in the editing process, Al was like, eh, we can cut it. But they went through so much trouble to get it filmed that Eric fought to keep it in.
And the Q&A session ended with something really fun. Eric had brought a few things left over from the set. They had printed up these Skunk Barf t-shirts. And if you remember, Skunk Barf is the band that's on before Weird Al comes out at the biker bar. And they had printed up some of these Skunk Barf t-shirts for the crew as sort of fun gifts. And he had a few extras. And him and Nina threw a few of those out to the audience members. He said he didn't have enough for everybody, but we did get a few of them.
Yeah, it was such a cool thing. And we just had such a nice time at the screening. And it was so nice to get to see our friends and meet our new friends. It was just totally worth it, Dave. I'm so glad that we made the journey out to Columbus to see the film and hang with everyone.
Oh, I am too. I had such an amazing time there, and I'm so glad that we went.
And of course, Saturday, our whole day was driving. We got up and we drove back to Dave's house, and then I hopped in the car and I drove back up to my house. It was probably around midnight when I finally got home. But we did see a few things on the way that were Al-related or Al-adjacent.
On the drive home, we did see a few Weird Al-related signs. We saw signs for the town of Downey, which is, of course, where Weird Al was born, although this one was in Pennsylvania.
Not California.
And a town called Altoona. And we also saw, interesting enough, a whole bunch of signs for Safety Patrol. And all I could think about was the 1998 Disney original movie, which, of course, starred Weird Al and his band doing the Ballad of Kent Marlowe and Gump.
And over our journey of three whole days and nights, along our whole journey, Dave and I ended up listening to every single Weird Al studio album. And we even listened to Medium Rarities, which was really fun. I always love listening to Weird Al on the road.
And by listening to every album, we listened to every single song on every album because Ethan would not let me skip the 10 minutes of silence on Off the Deep End.
Hey, it counts as a Weird Al song, Dave.
This whole trip was a lot of fun. I'm so glad you were able to join me. I'm so glad we had so much fun on the drive out and the drive home and at the event itself. What an amazing time. What memories we're going to have for years to come.
So if you ever have a chance to see Weird on the big screen with a real audience, you gotta go for it. It is unlike any other experience seeing the movie. It's so much fun.
This episode is brought to you in part by Discover Darwin, promoting tourism in Darwin, Minnesota. Not only is historic Darwin, Minnesota a beautiful, it's also blinding.
Just as all the buzz from the 2024 eclipse has started to die down, Discover Darwin wants to get ready for the next total solar eclipse scheduled for Darwin, Minnesota.
Since viewing a solar eclipse directly without any eye protection is unsafe, it is recommended to use ISO-approved solar eclipse glasses, which are safe for direct solar viewing.
In a fax sent to Discover Darwin headquarters, penned by one Dr. Leonard Fernbuttons, he warns that some eclipse viewing glasses have a printed expiration date of March 11th, 2062.
Dr. Fernbuttons goes on to insist it is safe to ignore this printed expiration date, as they will still be safe to use at the time of Darwin's next total solar eclipse on Monday, September 14th, 2099.
We here at Discover Darwin have not been able to verify the existence of a Dr. Leonard Fernbuttons, and therefore recommend you not take the advice from some random guy who faxed us, whose name is probably made up, and instead contact your optometrist for advice for the upcoming solar eclipse in Darwin, Minnesota, on Monday, September 14th, 2099.
Even more concerning is, not only does Discover Darwin not even own a fax machine, we haven't even paid our fax bill in 300 years.
Oh, and also, we recommend that Darwin townsfolk and any tourists planning to travel to Darwin to see the eclipse leave their magnifying glasses at home so as not to accidentally set the world's biggest ball of twine made by one man ablaze.
And while the destruction of the world's biggest ball of twine made by one man would be tragic and horrible, it is our opinion here at Discover Darwin that Darwin would still have a lot left to offer.
So visit Darwin, Minnesota on your next eclipse expedition. Discover Darwin, more than just the twine ball. And after you visit Darwin, Minnesota, be sure to attempt to visit www.discoverdarwin.biz.
Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast is brought to you absolutely free thanks to our incredible sponsors, Burrito Burrito, Wizard Burger, our very own Jackson Scoggins, and Discover Darwin. Our podcast is also supported by everyone else in our Patreon family, with special thanks to our very own close personal friend level Patreon supporters, including Matt, Kev, Casey, Allison, Adriana, Gus and Alicia, Zach, Ron, Zeb, Dana B, UH Jeff, Blair, Kenneth, Ajax, Javier, Nancy, Scotto, and also thanks to Ron and everyone else in our pretty stinking majestic Patreon family.
If you enjoy our slightly dented Weird Al podcast, as heard in the Weird the Al Yankovic story commentary track, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/2000inch. There are awesome benefits, like getting your name read on the podcast, your own private RSS feed, which gives you early access to each and every bonus episode, and of course, the self-satisfaction of doing something important with your otherwise pitiful, meaningless existence.
And don't forget to check out our official merchandise shop over at shop.2000inch.com, where you can pick up an official Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast t-shirt, just like our friend Samantha was wearing at the Weird the Al Yankovic story screening in Columbus, Ohio. All proceeds from purchases go directly towards supporting our fine podcast. We love hearing from our listeners and other Weird Al fans, so be sure to join our Facebook community over at group.2000inch.com and visit our Discord server for even more riveting Weird Al and Red Rump the Goodie related conversations. You can find both of them linked on our website, as well as information about past episodes and guests, over at 2000inch.com or weirdalpodcast.com.
Keep up on new episodes, podcast news, and events by following at 2000 Inch on Facebook, X, Threads, and Instagram. And be sure to subscribe everywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. Not only does subscribing help the podcast, if you do, and you also own an official Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast t-shirt, it will help you win one of Daniel Radcliffe's screen-worn Hawaiian shirts in a Mad Libs and Roku contest. Plus, we also love it when we receive voicemail via official patent-pending 27-hour-a-day podcast hotline 347 Spatula, as seen in the Illustrated Al, the Songs of Weird Al Yankovic. That number is 347-772-8852. Give it a call or a text, and you might even hear your message in a future episode.
For this episode, we would love to thank Claire Walsh, Nita West, Erica Pell, Jeremy Samples, Dustin Jablonski, Mindy, Allison Parsons, Samantha Evans, Ajax, and the rest of our friends, new and old, over at the Weird Screening last weekend. The Tony-nominated Jeremy Ween, William King, WeirdAl.info, and of course, Dr. Leonard Fernbuttons. Thank you to the Grammy Award-winning Jim Kimo West for our incredible podcast theme song. And thank you to the meticulous Weird Al Yankovic, as this podcast probably would not exist without him. And a big thank you to all of you, our loyal listeners, subscribers, Patreon supporters and sponsors, and everyone else who makes our podcast possible.
Thank you for choosing Dave and Ethan's 2000 Inch Weird Al podcast. And until next time, remember to gill and chill, keep listening to Weird Al, and stay cheesy. Dave!
What?
We have to go back to Columbus right now.
Why? The screening is long over.
You don't understand, Dave! I just realized I forgot to grab my container of authentic Ohio Pico de Gallo from House Taco!
Oh my gosh, you forgot it? And after you asked for a lid for it and everything?
Yeah, I don't know how I could. I just wanted to add it to my collection.
You know what, Ethan? You don't need to stress about it.
I don't? Why not?
I've got a funny kind of feeling we'll be coming back again next year.
That was Dave and Ethan's 2,000 Inch Weird Al Podcast, episode 229 Inch. This is Ethan, and I'm here with Dave, and we just wanted to say
thank you for all your support for the past 5 years.